Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is Top 10 Problems on WebSphere Cast Iron. Today's presenter is Vani Madhupu. Vani has been working as a technical support engineer on WebSphere Cast Iron since 2005. In this role, she is responsible for working with WebSphere Cast Iron customers on all three form factors and resolving their problems. She has a vast amount of experience on the product and also focuses on leading the knowledge content for WebSphere Cast Iron. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Vani. Vani, you may begin.
Thanks, David. And thanks to everybody on the phone for joining today's session on the top 10 problems encountered in WebSphere Cast Iron. Slide 2, please. There have been many known issues discovered and resolved on WebSphere Cast Iron. This presentation will discuss today's top 10 issues in detail, describes the symptoms and the root cause of the issue, and finally provides a solution. So the objective of this presentation is to provide customer self-help in resolving their issues with all three form factors of Cast Iron product, physical virtual appliance and as well as cloud solution. Then I have put up some key takeaways from this presentation, a kind of a summary. And for your future reference, I have given you some links to the related articles. Finally, we open up the lines for Q&A. For any questions that you may have, I'll try to answer them. Slide 3, please. One of the most common issues we have seen is transaction not successfully started error message received in WMC. The symptoms for this issue includes that slowness in WMC. After some time, you will not see any configurations in WMC dashboard. It looks as if the repository is empty. And instead, you see database transaction errors. Transaction not successfully started at the bottom of the WMC. But even while the WMC is unusable, some projects may continue to run and accept jobs, but most will fail. And another symptom you may observe is jobs sometimes may end up accumulating above the completed jobs count, trigger specified in purged settings. Slide 4, please. One of the root causes is a defect found in 6.3 base version. APAR LI77202 was logged for this issue. Basically, the defect is internal job database corruption may occur on the appliance at times of high logging activity, and this causes the unresponsive WMC and runtime failures. In 6.3 version, the design was changed a bit, that the appliance job purger was optimized to perform faster, but this had a side effect of triggering compaction of the internal job log database more often. So as a result, the internal job log database can become corrupt during compaction when there is high logging activity. We have addressed this APAR in 6.3.01 and 6.1.15. One of the solutions is to upgrade to these versions. Slide 5, please. On the other versions of Cast Iron OS, this issue was reported when the internal DB server in this case, runs out of memory due to high logging activity on the appliance. A couple of things that you can do to solve this problem. Number one is running the CLI command, system clean running argmon. This clears the issue temporarily because it cleans the job log database manually. It's a quick solution. If your production is impacted and you want a quick action, this is what you need to do. And then to avoid this situation altogether, reduce the logging levels for the orchestrations. Since it happens due to the high logging activity on the appliance, and increase the job log purge frequency. So the default settings to purge the orchestration monitoring logs are suitable for most scenarios. But based on your use case, during high logging activity, you may need to change these settings time to time. And then avoid the exporting of job logs. With large job log data or orchestration monitoring data, exporting the job logs can cause out of memories on Derby server. If possible, stop exporting of the job logs by changing the settings in WMC. Just uncheck this option. But if you must export logs, use the option Export and Purge Job Logs to clean up the job logs from the appliance. And then increase the memory allotted for the internal process responsible for logging, which is Derby server. So based on the memory available on the appliance, you can take L2 engineer's help to increase the memory allotted for this process. For example, if you have a 8 GB RAM on your hypervisor, you can increase the memory allotted for this Derby server up to 2 GB. Next, clear the orchestration-related errors. Resolve errors related to data or database or connection errors. These errors cause a lot of I/O operations. Slide 6, please. Another issue reported often lately is no HTTP response exception. The server failed to respond error. So the symptoms of this issue includes that slowness in processing of jobs that involving HTTP web service calls. So your orchestrations, if you have any orchestrations with HTTP receive call, web service receive calls, these HTTP requests go slow. And finally, you see that they fail with no HTTP exception error, with a 204 error code. And in the system logs, you see the error message, no HTTP exception, response exception. The server, and it gives the IP address or host name of the appliance, and it says fail to respond. Slide 7, please. So this issue is reported on Cast Iron OS 6.1.12 and 6.3.0.1 versions. The problem occurred due to a defect in the IBM JRE used in these releases. And it was fixed in the later versions of IBM JRE. We have used this Java version and addressed this issue in Cast Iron 6-Pack 6.1.15 and Cumulative I6 on 6.3.0.1. I have provided the links to these versions. If you hit this issue, please upgrade to these versions. Slide 8, please. Yeah. Another common problem we have seen is out-of-memory error. Appliance runtime process runs out of memory. When this occurs, appliance hangs or restarts. You may observe slowdown in processing of jobs and eventually jobs error out. You can see the error message in WMC, out-of-memory error on Java heap space. And the resource utilization graph in WMC dashboard shows the high memory utilization. And you may see frequent job full garbage collections happening. So this graph is on top right corner of the WMC dashboard. It gives the details on the runtime process health. Slide 9, please. Basically, the appliance sets a pool of memory to run orchestration jobs. So managing this pool of memory is key to maintain the healthy and runtime environment. So we have put up memory management best practices to maintain a healthy runtime environment and avoid these out-of-memory errors. The first thing you can do is reduce the logging levels again. So more detailed logging requires more memory to process and store in the data, and it also increases the I/O load on the appliance disk. This can slow the performance. Basically, the appliance generates two kinds of logs. One is system log, and the other one is orchestration job logs. By default, the system-level logging is set to warning. If the number of warnings generated by your system is high for some reason, memory usage might become an issue. Either resolve the problem that is causing the warning or increase the system-level logging to errors so that it won't log the error message, warning message. And next, the orchestration logging. So these are specified for each orchestration in the project in each configuration details page. The recommended setting for setting is error values in production. Save all for the development. And next thing you can do, verify persistence is enabled for all the orchestrations. By default, this is enabled for the orchestration. What it means is, like, if a running job, for a running job, the variable data is written to the disk instead of memory. Enabling persistence has the added benefit, actually. In case of failure, your data recovery is possible because all the data is written to the disk. But on the other hand, if you disable the persistence for an orchestration, variable data is stored in memory. So disabling persistence can improve the performance a bit, but as the number of running jobs increase, the likelihood of running out of memory also increases. Because of this high risk of running out of memory, you need to proceed with extreme caution when you choose to disable the persistence. And next thing you could do is staggering the orchestration jobs. So by scheduling the memory-intense jobs to start at different times or to run during off-peak hours, you relieve some of the load on the memory and potentially improve performance. In studio also you can do this. In an orchestration, use a scheduler job activity or in any polling starter activity, you can configure the polling intervals to stagger the orchestration jobs and maximize the resource utilization. And another thing you can do is minimize the number of variables used in an orchestration. The more variables you use in an orchestration, the more memory is required to store the data. Try to reuse the variables whenever it's possible. So you review your orchestration to see if you can reduce the number of variables used. And next thing you can do is reduce the number of simultaneously running jobs. Basically, in WMC, you are able to specify the maximum number of simultaneously running jobs for an orchestration. As the number of concurrently running orchestration increases, so does the performance of the memory usage. So if you notice memory is getting overloaded in the resource utilization graph, reduce the number of jobs running simultaneously. Put a cap on the number of jobs. Decide some number and put it there. And then another thing you can do is split the data into smaller chunks. What that means is if you are processing large amounts of data, for example, if you have a database query that returns 10,000 records, modify the query to return the data in chunks, maybe 1,000 records at a time. This reduces the variable size so that is stored in the memory while job is running. And next slide, please. Slide 10. I have a couple more of these best practices in this slide and a screenshot of a resource utilization graph. So in a WMC resource utilization graph, you can track the percentage of the memory used. When the percentage of memory used is approximately 75% or less, the integration appliance has capacity to process more orchestration. It is healthy and happy. So when the percentage of memory exceeds 75%, you will likely notice performance issues and number of full garbage collections increase. So if you see this graph here, the red line indicates the memory utilization. Green indicates the GC activity, garbage collector activity. The purple shows the number of running jobs. So the number of running jobs are not many in this graph. The one or two jobs are high memory intense jobs. So if you see when the memory utilization is more than 75%, a full GC happens. You can see two full GCs here, the green line going touching the top. So the full garbage collection process puts all the running jobs into sleep state and does the GC. That means returns the unused memory back to the pool. Because all the orchestration jobs stop during a full garbage collection, a frequent full garbage collection can affect the orchestration performance. So when you see this happening on the appliance, you implement the best practices of memory management that we are discussing now so that you reduce the usage of the memory and avoid out of memories. And last but not least is add additional appliances to your environment. We need to understand it is an appliance and it has limited resources. At some point in time, it reaches its maximum capacity. Then you got to do is simply add more appliances. Slide 11, please. Well, next top issue is unknown host exception with www.salesforce.com. So the symptoms you see are, while deploying the project with Salesforce.com connector, you cannot deploy. It fails with the error message. You could see a couple of error messages. Basically, it says activity could not get activated. And the detail error would be unknown host exception on www.salesforce.com. And you could also see activity could not get activated, and the error is connection timed out. So in this case, network traces shows appliance cannot connect to the Salesforce.com internal servers. After making initial session, the Salesforce.com routes the traffic to internal servers. For example, here in this case, NA4 API-1 was the Salesforce.com. It showed that appliance cannot connect to this server. Slide 12, please. Projects that use certain Salesforce.com activities, they're required to make the connection to the server at the time of deployment itself. So this could fail if the appliance cannot resolve the DNS name. The cause may be that the DNS server may not be reachable from the appliance due to network issues, or the DNS server may be down, or it has a wrong entry. So the solution for this is to make sure the DNS server is up and reachable and have the correct entries. You may configure up to two DNS servers on the appliance as a backup. Slide 13, please. Another root cause we have seen is occasionally Salesforce.com also updates their DNS entries, which may take some time to propagate to the other servers. In this case, we recommend to contact Salesforce.com support. Slide 14, please. So another DNS-related issue we have seen most commonly is unknown host exception on localhost. So the symptoms are sporadically WMC goes down. You want to open the WMC in the browser, but you may not be able to do so. But when you see at this time, you may be able to open as SSH to the appliance. You see that runtime is stuck in running state. If you do the CLI command system show status, it shows everything is up, but runtime is stuck in running state. And actually, runtime takes too long to come up. Sometimes WMC may come up, but the projects cannot be deployed on the appliance. And if you go into the system logs, they show this error, unknown host exception, and appliance host name. In WMC, sometimes the connectors page may show that error while fetching the connector information, and you may not be able to see any connector information over there. Slide 15, please. So one common cause for runtime not coming up is that the appliance could not look up its own IP address via DNS. So the solution for this is to simply add the appliance host name to its host file. So use the CLI command netadd/etc/host/address. So when you use this command, you need to note that a couple of things. One is use fully qualified name for the host name. But if you manually edit etc/host file, the entry will be lost when the appliance is rebooted. Keep that in mind. And after running this command, the netadd/etc/host command, make sure that the IP address is assigned to the correct host name that you have provided in the command, especially when you remove an existing entry and add a new entry. The reason I'm saying this is currently, if for some reason the entry is not updated, the error message displayed is not very clear. It just shows what entity is currently assigned to the IP. You just have to make sure that the entry is the host name you had given is the right one that you wanted to give. Slide 16, please. Next, we have observed a lot of issues that are around adding visuals to the visuals in the studio projects. So when you try to load a visual, you receive a generic error message, unable to load, unable to add selected document to the project null. This is a very generic message. There are a couple of reasons for this. So I put up some reasons that you can see and how to solve them in the next slides. Slide 17, please. As I said, there are a couple of reasons here to diagnose the root cause, look into the studio error.log. If you see the error message Stack Overflow, the root cause is that there is a cyclic referencing in visuals. What that means is you may have more than one visual used to load in your studio, and sometimes they may have schemas referencing to each other. So, for example, you have Visual 1, which is a Microsoft Dynamics GP Visual, Great Plains Visual, and there is another Visual, it uses temporary.org. Slide 18, please. So this Visual 1 would have reference to the Visual 2. In this case, Dynamics.GP Visual has reference to temporary.org, with an import message here, and Visual 2, temporary.visual, refers to the Great Plains.visual. So because of the circular referencing, each one of them try to load each other, and the studio cannot load both the visuals. It doesn't have to be just the visuals. If the visual has some schemas that has circular referencing, then also you face this issue. So the solution for this is to combine both the visuals into a single visual by manually modifying them. We have an enhancement request for this to add, and we actively working on this ER to support these type of visuals. But currently, these kind of visuals are not recommended by Cast Iron. Actually, they're not supported by many tools such as SOAP UI. So for now, we suggest to work with the web service provider to generate visuals that do not have this circular referencing or modify the visual manually. Slide 19, please. Another error you could see in the logs while loading the visual is content model violates the unique particle attribution rule. The root cause is the visual is not WSI or basic profile compliant. Specifically, the rule that is violated is unique particle attribution. So what this rule means is this requires each element in the document correspond to exactly one particle. Either it corresponds to a XSD element type or XSD any type, but it has to be correspond to exactly one particle. For example, go to next slide, slide 20. Here, in this example, line 6, you see the element E1. And in line 8 also, there is one more E1 element. The only difference between these two is that one has an extra attribute. This is ambiguous. So in order to solve this issue, remove the ambiguous content from this WMC. In this case, E1 element needs to be removed. Slide 21, please. Another error message you could see in the logs with the visuals is duplicate key operation for key constraint. What this error means is the visual has more than one same named operation with the same named and numbered parameters. Basically, both the operations are same. The operation name is shown in the warning messages here between those brackets. The solution is to change the visual to have unique operation names, change the name of the operation or the parameters. You need to have unique operation names within the visual. Slide 22, please. So this next slide is related to the cloud secure connector. From our cloud customers, of late we have seen this problem reported repeatedly. The secure connector does not start because it is not able to connect to gateway, and you receive the exception is auth fail. Slide 23, please. There are a couple of reasons for this error. One of the root causes is simply authentication key is wrong. Solution for this is make sure the auth key element value in the configuration file, secure connector configuration file, is same as the auth key in secure connector configuration wizard. The other root cause is private key cannot be accessed. Make sure the PK file exists in the location mentioned in the configuration file, which is local config underscore ws.xml file. Check the value of the tag pub SSH key. Slide 24, please. So if this file is missing, key file is missing, this is private key file, or it is not located in the location specified in this file, so easy way to fix this is load the configuration file again. Simply download the config file from WMC and load it via a secure connector configuration wizard. And the root cause we have seen for this issue is the Castoren Cloud Gateway. Gateway.castoren.com or gateway-1b.castoren.com is not reachable from the machine where the secure connector is installed. Basically, it's a network issue. You need to work with your network team and make sure the necessary changes are performed so that system can talk to gateway.castoren.com. Whether it could be firewall settings, some ports need to be open. You need to work with your network team. Slide 25, please. The next error, this error is related to database activity. Inserting a date time value without a time into date time type data type field, this causes this error message. So the message is string index out of range minus 1. For example, if you try to insert just the date value into the date time type column, your insertion fails. Slide 26, please. The root cause is a defect, and this defect has been addressed in 6301 cumulative iFix or 6115 fix pack. Simply upgrade to one of these versions, and the workaround is to append the date value with a dummy string, dummy time string. Basically, you could just add T :00:00:00:00, that's a time string, just to provide the XML date time value as an input. Slide 27, please. Next, I would like to discuss the performance enhancement we have added in our new release, which is in some specific use cases, users may experience some degradation in performance. So use cases such as sustained burst tail loads. What that means is large number of requests arriving at a rate much higher than normal, and it happens for an extended period of time. For example, you have an orchestration that has HTTP requests coming in 5 to 10 per minute normally, but sometimes it receives suddenly 60 to 70 requests per minute, and this causes the performance to go down drastically. Slide 28, please. This graph shows the issue faced during the burst tail loads. In this graph, the purple line shows the number of jobs running. The green shows the memory utilization. But during a burst, the number of jobs increases significantly for a sustained period of time. You can observe the memory utilization is going up. And even though this number of jobs, running jobs, goes down, you continue to see that memory utilization climbing up. So this issue has been addressed by the APAR LI77264. We have changed the design to improve the performance during these burst tile loads. And the other thing is, slide 29, please. So these heavy bursts of load that triggers the new jobs can lead to contention on the resources of the internal database systems used by the appliance. So what was happening here is, even though the jobs are completed, they are not cleaned up so that the threads can be used for a new job. Through this APAR, the usage of the internal database connections and the cleanup of the jobs has been optimized. So this provides high tolerance to a heavy burst of load. The solution for this is use the 6301 cumulative IFIX, where we have implemented this performance improvement. And we have a couple of workarounds. One workaround is to manage the burst loads on the appliance by load balancing. So distributing the load across the several appliances is one way to go. Another workaround is to limit the rate of incoming requests to the orchestration to a manageable rate. For example, this could be achieved by changing the push-to-pull model. What that means is design the orchestration in a way that these new messages can be pulled from an external queue at a sustained rate, instead of allowing the source to send the messages and listen for those messages in the orchestration. Slide 30, please. Finally, last but not least of the list is access to TIPS database. Normally, if you need TIPS access, you need to register with community.castiron.com and get approval. To avoid all these steps and time involved in this, we have created a common user. It has a read-only access. You can use it to download the TIPS from Studio, which is user TIPS read-only, password is IBM for you. Slide 31, please. Okay, so there were our top 10 issues. It is a lot of information, so I laid out some key takeaways for this presentation in this slide. So first one is use best practice for memory utilization on appliance to help improve the performance and to maintain the healthy runtime environment. Next, add the appliance IP address and host name to the appliance host file using CLI command net add etc/host. And use the WSDLs that are basic profile compliant, basic profile or WSI 1.1 compliant. In case of any problems loading these WSDLs, use Studio error.log to find the exact root cause. Use 6301 cumulative IFIX if your use case requires to manage burst tail loads to take advantage of the performance enhancement just now we have discussed. Slide 32, please. And for further reference on the product, here are some online resources. Number one, refer our Info Center documentation. Use this as your starting point. We have improved this lately, but there is always room for improvement. You can provide your feedback on any topic while you go through on this website itself. The next link is our support portal. Go to our support portal for all latest news, alerts, DCF docs, releases. This is like a one-stop shop for all cast iron-related stuff. And then we have documented the best practices for memory management in the Info Center. Please refer and implement them. There is a link. And next is developer community link. So you can sign up and ask questions and get answers on this community. You can get ideas, views, recommendations of your fellow cast iron users. Lastly, follow us on Twitter for the latest news. Slide 33, please. And you have some more additional online resources for WebSphere products. So you can refer these links that are mentioned here in this slide. And with this, I transfer the control back to David.
Thank you, Vani, for a great presentation. And finally, moving on to slide 34, don't forget to connect with us. You can be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe. Also, if there is a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this time, Rico, we would like to open the lines for questions.
And at this time, it looks like we have no questions in the queue.
Thank you. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Vani, for presenting today.
Thanks.